It is now time for the Crime Report. It's brought to you by the Suffolk Crime Stoppers. 1-800-220-TIPS, the number, ladies and gentlemen. 1-800-220-8477. All calls kept confidential. Monetary reward of up to $5,000. Occasionally issued for information that will lead to an arrest. Joe Jacklone, of course, retired NYPD sergeant, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad, current adjunct professor at John Jay College, and he's an author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide for New Investigators, edition number 3. Highly decorated member in his day, by the way, of the NYPD. That would include the Department Medal of Valor, the aforementioned Joseph Jacklone. We say very good morning to the Sarge. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I'm okay. Joe, I'm okay. But I tell you, it seems like you and I speak about this every couple of weeks, another shooting in the schools. This one in, Santa Clarita, about 30 miles north of Los Angeles. And, another one of those deals, Joe, this kid, 16, his birthday, actually, as he was doing this yesterday, a 16-year-old, killing five people shot. He shot himself. He's, right now, from what the last report I heard, he was in grave condition. But, these are the types of stories that come through. And, you still remain somewhat mesmerized how they still go on, but they do.
Yeah, he had the handgun in his backpack. They said it took all of a few seconds for, he took it out to start shooting. Some reports were even saying that this was a targeted attack, like he shot these kids on purpose. He had them picked out. This wasn't something that, it was just a spree kind of thing. He had somebody. We'll wait to see if we can confirm that or not, but that's one of the reports that I had read. It's unreal, Jay. We keep on doing this, and there's a lot of schools that don't want armed, security guards or cops on the campuses too. And I always say, why? Why don't you? The cops have been painted as this bad profession kind of thing, and they don't want them anywhere near their schools. But I guess, you're going to have to cave in sooner or later and take a look at about exactly what's happening and what's going on. You have no answers to this, Jay. How many times do we have to talk about this before somebody tries to do something? Nobody's done anything since the last one or the one before that or anything.
How many times are we going to talk about this stuff? County leaders issuing statements yesterday, more patrols. Listen, I've been a proponent for armed guards at every school. Put the metal detectors in. I don't care what you have to do. You have to protect kids. It's getting to the point where you're going to hate to go to school. You don't know what's going to happen anymore. 14 or 16-year-old are dead. Nobody's watching the store. And I mean, how many times are we going to talk about the same stuff? Time after time after time. It's interesting. We talk about this, Joe. We talk about this with our local leaders when these incidents happen. Nothing ever gets done about it. Nothing. We talk about these new applications on hand for teachers and everything else. It's unbelievable. When is it going to set in for people what we got to do here?
No, it's just you just can't seem to wrap your head around it that nothing ever seems to get done. And, of course, everyone, as soon as it out, so some of the presidential candidates, they start talking gun control and this and that. Well, okay, but we have a problem that needs to get done right now. It actually should have been done 5 years ago. Enough with the grandstanding and pandering and everything else that you're doing. Somebody needs to step in and take a leadership role and do something about it. I think a lot of times our elected officials, they put their label of leader on themselves. Just because you get elected or just because you're in charge doesn't make you a leader, okay? Doing things and doing them right makes you a leader. And making that everybody else follows you and thinks that you're the model for doing it, that's what makes you a leader. Tired of hearing people say, well, I'm the leader. No, you're not. You're not doing anything about it.
Hey, listen, I agree 100%. We are so bound up in Washington these days on getting this guy out of the Oval Office. I mean, that's the M.O. of all. Of all, really, Democrats, really. I mean, that's what it is. It is so dysfunctional now. I've heard so many people tell us this. It, who knows? Peter King is bowing out because he's tired of this nonsense. I mean, listen, it's got to change. Something has to give here, okay? It's not about, having these hearings and closed-door depositions. to get this guy out of the Oval Office. They are getting nothing done. Nothing. Okay? And I'm sick and tired of talking about this. Something has to be done here. Okay? At least on a local level. Something has to be done. Every school, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I don't disagree with you. I mean, it's, something has to get done. But ironically, yesterday, I think it was, the FBI released their book, the collection of lone offender terrorism. And maybe that the elected officials, when they can get a chance, they should read it like today, find out what's going on. Because one of the things that was, I just briefly read through it. I did the executive summary kind of thing. I didn't get a chance to read the whole document because it's pretty long. But one of the things that it says is 96% of the time, these guys who do this stuff, they produce some sort of writing or video that was intended to be viewed by other people. So here's a clue for everybody. If you see something like this online, you got to report it. You got to say something. I mean, if almost 100% of these mass shooters have said something ahead of time, posted something online, something on social media, Facebook, whatever it is, you need to tell somebody about it. I mean, this is the kind of thing that they should dissect this report, break it down into the bite-sized pieces for everybody, come out and talk about it so that people can understand it. Law enforcement officials should be talking about this night. I haven't heard much about it from anybody. They should just have a plan. So, for instance, Nassau and Suffolk County, this book should be read right now by your counterterrorism people, your intelligence people, gathering as much intel as you can on it, getting it out there to the schools, going to talk to the schools and to the kids and to the principals so that we can try to develop some sort of, intelligence tree or something when something goes wrong ahead of time that we could stop this from happening, maybe. Just an idea, you know.
And Joe, this was this kid, he fits the bill of all of them. He's a loner, ran some track. And I've been saying this forever. We don't have enough personnel within the system itself that could talk to these kids if they have problems. That stuff like this can be recognized beforehand. And maybe, just maybe, you can avert a tragic situation. How many people knew of this Nathan Burrow? He was a loner. Everybody said he was a loner. He'd be on the track by himself. He was a strange kid. How about we recognize this and talk to him and maybe get some help for him? Just maybe we can avert these types of deals. That's part of the problem also. There's just not enough personnel in our systems. That's the case. A couple of thousand students yesterday. Just not enough personnel around. That's just another way. But the kid takes out a .45 from his backpack before classes began yesterday. He gets into the school. There's no metal detectors, obviously. How long are we going to, go for this stuff? When are we waking up around here?
Yeah, unfortunately, Jay, I don't know if we're ever going to wake up. We've had so many prior to this one, and nothing got done, and nothing seems to do. There's some information out there now. So like you said, I guarantee you that everybody's going to be talking about this kid in the next couple of days and say, oh, I knew this or that or the other thing. And then I kind of scratch my head and say, why did somebody say anything? Is everybody worried about, ratting everybody out or getting in trouble? Or maybe we need to make an anonymous tip lines in schools or something, that the kids can report some odd behavior by a fellow student without having to give their name or information, and maybe something can get done that way. I mean, generally the kids that go to the school with these shooters, they actually, like you said, they actually know that there's something wrong and there's something that could tip this kid off one way or another. And that's the kind of individual that we want to, who's at risk, that we want to reach out to in order to prevent something like this from happening. So yeah, Jay, you're right. Our school officials have failed miserably too, right? The guidance counselors or whatever they call them nowadays. I mean, this is what their job is. Nobody seems to focus on, hey, where's the guidance counselors? What are the schools doing about this? How does the information get filtered down if some kid, says that there's something wrong with another student? I mean, when do we start focusing in on that too? I mean, nothing. We get nothing proactive about the whole thing. Zero.
And he puts something on social media. I'm paraphrasing. Enjoy your day at Saugus. Come on. It's like nobody's watching the story. It's terrible. It really is. I don't know how many of these I could actually take, and we just lead a blind eye. We're not getting anything done. Nothing is done on Capitol Hill these days. Nothing. Nothing is done. Give me Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff in a room. Can we get something constructive going here? I mean, it's unbelievable. All right, let's move on. Joe, a couple of key trials going on here. You got the Spoda-McPartland deal, and you got this 60-year-old, we'll start with him, this Thomas Murphy. You know, now you're going to tell me, you're going to tell me that these kids were in the middle of the road. This guy was drinking vodka from the first to the 18th hole, okay, back on September the 18th, please. You're going to tell me now that, no, listen, at least tell me the guy had a medical event. Don't tell me these kids were walking in the middle of the road, please. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. And you have a guy who testified, you know, this guy, a friend of Murphy's, what, 35 years, Joe? What's his name? Stephen Maiola. 35 years. Who basically stated the guy was drinking. You know what I would say to Stephen Maiola, though? If that was the case, why didn't you take the guy's keys? That's what I would like to know.
Yeah, no, this is... This trial, we've talked about this a few times now, and I think the last time we talked about it, because, you know, now they're going to start attacking the kids, the victims, and everybody else, and I think we mentioned that, and it's exactly what's happening right now, because I don't think they have much of a case. Otherwise, you know, they kind of had a couple of things that go their way, but I mean, I still think that this is, you know, it's not outrageous behavior. This is just typical behavior by defense attorneys. This is what their job is, to try to do something. Remember, reasonable doubt, that's all they're doing, about overwhelming evidence, and then you have a young boy who's dead on this whole thing. So I think that he should have taken the plea when they had the chance.
Exactly right. That's what I said yesterday. Take the plea, because I'll tell you one thing, Joe, and you know better than anyone. Judges don't like this type of deal. If you've turned down the plea and you're going to drag the family through the mud again through all this stuff, okay, that's when the book's going to be thrown at you. And I'll tell you one thing, Murphy's in trouble here. He's going to get a hefty type sentence here. I'll tell you that much.
Well, I mean, if he does, it would be one of the first, because we've seen other incidents where somebody's been drunk and killed somebody who's gotten off rather lightly. So I guess that will remain to be seen about exactly what happened here. I mean, eventually someone's going to get the book thrown at them. So as the evidence mounts and the trial goes on, we're going to see what happens. Jerry, we're going to keep a close eye on this one for sure. I mean, this is a big case because of the age, I think, involved in the young boy. And this thing could have been 100 times worse, too, with the family have to go through this. Like you said, this has got to be gut-wrenching every day.
The McMorris family, I really do. To see this on a daily basis, this guy should have taken the plea and that was it. Do your time. Instead, you're going through the rigmarole of a trial now. You're dragging the family members back into this mess. You know what? He's going to get his just desserts, I'll tell you that much. Joe Jacklin on the crime report. Let's go to the other one. You have the former DA in Suffolk, Tom Spoda, his chief aide of the corruption unit, Christopher McPartland. You know, the alleged cover-up, the whole thing I had on the attorney for Christopher Loeb, Bruce Barquette. On with me yesterday, Joe. You know, it's just one of those. You know, it's interesting. Loeb is not going to I thought Loeb would go up there to testify. He's not going to testify because he had overseen the jury selection. He's out. You know, to me, if I'm calling witnesses and everything else, then you got to put Jimmy Burke on the stand. I mean, you have to. But it's, you know, one of those cases yesterday where, you know, Spoda, stellar career. We know his stellar career. But we know that he had a kinship with the former chief of the department there in James Burke. We know that. You go back to the Jimmy Pius days. You know, a young James Burke taken under the Spoda wing, so to speak. And they had a very special relationship. That's what it's coming down to here.
Yeah, Jay, this whole thing... from beginning to end is going to be a ugly kind of thing. I mean, from what we're hearing, though, is that, you know, I think, unfortunately, his whole legacy is going to be questioned from beginning to end when things start coming out, especially things like about, you know, trying to intimidate witnesses and the like about this whole Burke thing. I mean, the New York Times kind of like smeared the whole thing with I don't know if you caught that headline. But it was something like a bag of sex toys and a cover-up by the DA or something like that. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting when you start reading about exactly what is alleged in this case with Spoda. And you know, here you have the corruption guy who's supposed to be making sure you do it. Meanwhile, they're going out there trying to do everything they can. Now, I had talked to one of the reporters from Newsday, and they said that Jimmy Burke isn't going to be testifying either. So that's going to be – that was odd, I thought. I mean, I thought that would be something that the prosecutor would do. I guess if he refused to testify, they'd have to, you know, hold him as contempt of court or whatever. I guess – I don't know. It would just not be good for their case. I can't imagine why they wouldn't put him on the stand, because that's the guy that I would want on the stand.
Yeah, and Barquette explained to me yesterday, listen, I understand Loeb canceled himself out. But you have to put Burke on the stand. I mean, come on. You have to put Burke on the stand here. You must. You got to delve into the relationship a little bit between him and Spoda. You have to. You know, and to me, listen, I don't know how they're not. Joe, we'll see what happens, but I'll tell you. This could hurt Tom Spoda in the long run. Really will. We'll see what happens. He's still a career, we know. He led the way. We know he led the way. But, you know, all it takes is one little incident like this, Sarge, and everything blows up in your face here, right?
And people only remember what happened last.
Mr. B. Joe Jacklin, the Crime Report. Let's move on to a couple of stories making some headlines. You have another one of these deals where you had a contractor, Joe, I don't know if you read about this, fleecing the town of Brookhaven for around $6,000 or so, falsifying claim vouchers while upgrading the town's vehicle fueling systems here. So this 65-year-old Robert Heinrich charged now. You know what? This is, you know, a typical example of a guy getting greedy, and now he faces up to 7 years in prison. Talking about a grand larceny charge here for Heinrich.
Exactly. And, you know, Sini took the helm on this one here for sure. But what made him think that this was easy to do? That's the question, right? Did anybody that he know do this to Brookhaven and got away with it and said, hey, this is what you do? This is where now the investigation by Sini and his investigators need to take it to the next step. Because what made people believe, or what made this guy believe, that he was able to pull this off? That's the question that I want to know. Because generally, these guys talk within these realms, whatever, these contractors, they do this stuff, whatever, and then they say, hey, this is what's going on, or this is what you have to do, or what have you. That's the kind of information that I'd like to have dug out, the intel, and get down to the nitty-gritty, and then go back and look at every other contract that has happened, or any other person that this guy's related to that had a contract with Brookhaven. That's where it needs to get done.
Now let's move on to another one. The hammer thrown down regarding a Bloods gang member getting a sentence, Joe, 17 to 21 years, driving head-on at a police cruiser not once but twice, leading officers on a high-speed chase, vehicle topping about 100 miles an hour or so. So Justin Lewis out of Shirley convicted in October on a slew of charges, and all in all, a very dangerous pre-dawn driving going on here in November of 2017.
Yep, and like I said, I mean, these sentences for these gang members are getting pretty steep. And, you know, so we said Suffolk County's done a great job with MS-13, this and that, and now we're having to deal with the Bloods gangs and what have you. So we had mentioned this on an earlier date about the gangs that are happening out on Long Island. It just seemed to be like whack-a-mole. You get one, and then all of a sudden and somebody else pops their head up. So they got to keep on pressing with the arrest. Keep on going.
Battle, let's move to this Long Beach woman with a plea of not guilty, Joe, yesterday to an indictment of second-degree murder and the killing of her strange lover, was found beaten to death with a kitchen pan in his burning Center Island home. It happened last year. Talking about this, Jennifer Gross entering the plea to the judge. Seven charges in all here. The victim here, the killing of James Coppola, a 75-year-old who was found dead. Firefighters had extinguished a house fire and found his body badly beaten right near his front door there. So Gross ordered held without bail. She'll be due back in court right before Christmas, it seems here.
Yep. She was indicted yesterday by the grand jury. Mentalist things to put that together. You know, I never understood why somebody, if they kill somebody, always set a fire and try to see if they can destroy the body, which you can't. But all the fire does is bring the fire department and the police a lot earlier than anything else. I never understood that concept, but people continue to do it. I mean, you're not going to get away with that. And the other issue is that when somebody gets killed, this, you know, most of the percentages of the thing, it's the other significant person in their lives that could victimize them. So, yeah, I think she's got a bad time ahead of her.
No doubt, and we'll see what happens there. You're right, burning the you can't do that. It's basically, it comes down to teeth records, right, Joe? I mean, the teeth records will always remain intact when somebody does that, correct?
Yep, and even in crematoriums, I mean, those are the things that are left over, and nothing is fully burnt.
That is the case. Joe Jacklone, a couple of minutes left. I'll tell you one thing. How many times are we going to hear a story about animal cruelty and dogs left out in the cold and everything else? You know, it's a good punishment. How about we leave the individuals who do this to their animals? How about we tie them up to a tree when it's 12 degrees out with a wind chill? I think that's a pretty good punishment, in my opinion. I mean, how could anyone possibly, in their right mind, do this to an animal, Joe?
No, I mean, and not only that, there was a guy that was accused of shooting cats with pellet guns yesterday, too. So this is a, see, did you hear about that guy out in Suffolk, actually, in Mount Sinai? He was shooting cats with his pellet gun. I mean, just, what's wrong with people? I mean, I guess it's just this feeling of power that you have over this animal that wishes you no harm. I mean, it's there's some sick individuals for sure out there.
Tough one. Let's go to that. Did you read the crazy story of this librarian at Elmont? $260,000, Joe, over a seven-year period. I mean, that's and a lot of people say a librarian of all people. Well, it happened. Crazy.
Well, yeah, I guess there's a lot of nickels that she took, right, for the late fees. My gosh, I don't know how long it. Listen, it's unreal, right? That and the librarians, they get paid awfully well. I think it's I saw a report that she has stolen over $260,000 from the library. So this is somebody who should definitely know better. This isn't a kid who made a mistake, you know, in that kind of stuff. This is I don't know. I guess. Maybe her lifestyle started tipping people off about, you know, hey, but I think librarians make a pretty good salary on Long Island, right? Everybody who works for the island, you know, works for the counties does pretty well. I understand it's very difficult to live on Long Island because of the taxes and the expenses, but I think we need to delve down deep into what's actually happened here and find out what happened and prevent it from happening again.
Tough week, Joe. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds great.